As we stand, let us pray. We welcome you, living word, among us, that your word may find a home in our heart, that we might be strengthened to bear witness ourselves to your life, death, and resurrection in our lives, as feeble and broken or as challenged or struggling or wherever we may be on the journey, that your light would shine even through us, individually, as families, and as Christ Church. In your holy name, Jesus, amen. Please be seated. I asked last night at 8 o'clock, as part of our greeting one another, if people wouldn't mind sharing their name and a greeting of Christmas and perhaps how long they've been coming to Christ Church or where they were from. And it turned out last night we had people from Reno, Nevada, who were visiting. We had people from Nova Scotia, and over here was New Brunswick. And then a lady was here from Cambridge Bay, Nunavut. Now, if you look at how the crow flies, I think that she won for distance to get here. You know, I think about the little Anglican church there in Nunavut. I don't know the name of it, but they have a priest visit once a month. So count yourselves fortunate, perhaps, or maybe not. I don't know, maybe you'd rather have more lay involvement. But in any case, so we had this little connection at the door. Her name is Bella, I think. Just sharing that moment as a fellow Christian and Canadian and Anglican from another part of the world and to sense that bond and joy of worshiping on Christmas Eve together. It was great. We get to share some of that this morning, too, as we rejoice in God's goodness in the Incarnation, that we are united in Christ. Jesus himself came a long way. He came from the immutable, unimaginable bounds of limitlessness of the eternal, of heaven, and Paul writes to the Philippians, emptied himself and took the form of a human, took the form of a slave, and became one of us, and emptied himself. Kenosis, it's called in theological terms, emptied himself. One of the prayers that clergy and lay people inquire sometimes we say out there before we start the service is about this prayer of emptying. It goes like this, Lord, I present to you my emptiness, so fill me with yourself, your light, your love, and your life, that these, your precious gifts, may radiate through me and overflow the chalice of my heart into the hearts of all with whom I come in contact today, revealing unto them the beauty of your joy and wholeness and the serenity of your peace, which nothing can destroy. It's a beautiful prayer of chalice. I have it in my office. It's in the shape of a chalice, and it's this prayer written in the words in the bowl of the chalice. So he's come a long way for us. As I said last night, religion is man searching for God, and the gospel is God searching for us. He desires a relationship with us. And I don't know if you think about Anglicanism that way or if there's an evangelical strain of Anglicanism. I'm a Wycliffe graduate and so on, but before I went to Wycliffe, I was someone who was raised an Anglican. But the creed was in my head. It wasn't something that I, as a young man, really, it made any difference in my life. It was just something I said. And then one November, someone actually shared the gospel with me. I didn't really know that beyond this believing in God out there somewhere, there was a very particular historic Jesus who, though he was in eternity, took on the form of humanity to reveal God the Father to us. And it wasn't until he asked me, where do you see yourself in relationship to this holy God? Are you with God? Or so he kind of drew a picture of God and then a big cliff between the two. And I said, I'm kind of more on this side and God's over here. He seemed too holy for me to be able to, you know, it was a nice thing to believe in God and go to church, but I was a good person. I think I was. Please come. And what that demonstrated to me was the reason Jesus came was to build a bridge between a holy God and a human being like myself. I was tired of living a certain kind of level of pleasure and self-satisfaction and relationships, but still feeling directionless. And Jesus came to make this bridge in my life from the words in the Bible that he came to his own and his own believed him not. I was a little bit like that. I didn't really believe him. But when this understanding of myself as a person who is a sinner in need of redemption, that it wasn't just that I was a good person, even Jesus deflected the whole notion of being called good. And yet we Canadians think, oh yeah, I'm a good person. Wait a minute, if Jesus didn't even think of himself as only the Father is good, and yet Jesus really was good, maybe we need to rethink ourselves. Canadians don't really want to acknowledge Jesus Christ. We want to be good people and tolerant to all the values of our contemporary society. And so we have a struggle as Anglicans to be evangelical, to say that, yeah, God created you in his image, but where there's a brokenness there, and in the Bible it's called sin. And if you go on in John chapter 1, verse 12, I don't know if you caught that part. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. I like that part. As men, you know, we like to know about power. We got power. What is the power? To become sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. So in that day in November, back a long time ago, I believed in his name. I believed in the name. I believed in it, in my heart. So I'm giving you my testimony. Is that okay on Christmas morning to tell you that there's an Anglican foundation to my life, but I didn't really nail down my faith in Jesus, this one we celebrate, whose birthday is today, until I was a young adult. Now, I have baptized an 88-year-old lady who didn't discover it until she was in her 80s that Jesus came to save her. So my challenge or my question for you is, have you ever put your name in John 3:16? For God, do you know this passage? For God, we're going to say it in a minute, right, Lauren? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Put your name in there. For God so loved. Would you put your name in as I say it? For God so loved
the world
that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that
all believe in him.
All, meaning you, believed in him. You should not perish, but you, put your name in there, should have eternal life. If you hear nothing else in, I'm here for 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, I don't know how long I'm here to be your pastor. If you do nothing else but put your name in John 3:16 and you believe, it is not of the will of flesh, it's not my flesh, it's not me telling you, it's not the will of man, if it's not the will of any other person, but it's God who desires a relationship with you. If you have nothing else in my ministry, I would want that you would know that in your heart, that Jesus came to bring you into his family. And he did it by grace. He did it by a sacrifice. And it wasn't a fire of tissue on a Christmas morning. It was the fire of his own, the baptism of his own blood on the cross. He was willing to die for you. I don't know how many people you'd be willing to die for. My wife, my kids. Maybe as I get to know you, I'd be willing to die for you. I don't know. Maybe that's my calling. Even if I don't know you, would I be willing to? For the whole of humanity. Anyway, I've given you some measure of my testimony here. One of my favorite movies growing up is Chariots of Fire. It's this old movie back in the 80s. And there's a guy named Eric Liddell who in the 1920s refused to run on a Sunday. He's a Scottish runner, one of the world's fastest runners. He refused to run the 100-meter or 100-yard dash on a Sunday because of his faith. And his sister, they're both practicing evangelical Christians from Scotland, and family had served in missionary work in China, and their work is bearing fruit even today. His sister says, his sister Jenny has this encounter with Brother Eric, and she says, like, why are you in the Olympics even? Why don't you go to China and be missionaries with the rest of the family? His parents were there and so on. And he turns to his sister Jenny and he says, God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his glory. God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his glory. So God gave the gift of fleetness of foot to Eric. And eventually he, on the next day or later on in that week in the 24 Olympics, he ran the 200 meters, or the four, I think it was the 400 meters, and he won that race, even though he hadn't really trained for it. It's amazing. So that's a true story. So God gave himself so that we might live in him. And when we give, you're giving your time. I trust you're giving some measure of your treasure to your work. Maybe you're giving all of your energy to your work or to your family. You're giving yourself. Am I right? You give yourself to things. You give yourself to people. You give yourself to the church. I mean, people like Warren, you're here every single Sunday and every... You give yourself so much. Thank you. People give themselves to this work, to the work of the church, to the work of mission. God gave himself, and it was his pleasure. I love that passage from the Hebrews. And you anointed him. He was anointed with the oil of gladness. Think about that. Did anybody get any nice hand cream for Christmas? I don't know. Maybe facial cream? I don't know. I got some hand cream for Christmas. My hands were burned from dealing with the silly fire this morning. So you're anointed with the oil of gladness. And perhaps as you come, if you haven't already, if you put your name in John 3:16, and you realize that this message is for me, it's for you, that you too will be anointed with the oil of gladness and bear that spirit of gladness and joy in your life as we come to follow and to serve him and to return to wherever we live. So, I think that's basically what I wanted to say this morning. Do you have any questions? I love interaction. It makes you think a bit. If you're actually, oh, what is he doing? I have to do something now? Any thoughts or questions? I'm serious. No? My daughter said, so Dad, are you going to change your sermon after the fire this morning? But I am changing the offertory hymn. I don't know how you do collection around here.